I do. Good evening. Good to see you all tonight. Amen. Good to be here. No, this message tonight that I want to look at, I did have peace about it several weeks ago, and thankfully the Lord allowed me to move forward with it. And I think I need to make a clarification. When I was talking about, you know, how do you know that the Lord's doing something, you know, changing it? And I made the comment, and no one said anything to me, but I was thinking about this. I made the comment that I was looking at it. I was like, well, that's dumb. I need to clarify. I'm looking at my notes. My notes are dumb, not the Bible, not the message of God's word. My notes are dumb. I was like a fifth grader wrote it. No offense to any fifth graders. But I mean, that's what I was talking about. So, but tonight I do have peace about this one. And so if you'll grab your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 31. And if you're able to stand as we honor the reading of God's word, Exodus chapter 31. And I'm going to start in verse 18 and then just get into chapter 32 a bit. So Exodus chapter 31 and verse 18. I'm excited about the message and just praying the Lord blesses and uses it. I need this message tonight, and I know that there's probably folks in here that need this message as well. And so Exodus chapter 31 and verse 18. The Bible says, "And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God." Could you imagine what that would have been like? And, you know, and every time I read this story, I think of Charlton Heston, you know, carrying the Ten Commandments and all that stuff. But, I mean, that it had to have been pretty amazing. Chapter 32 and verse 1. "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation, and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow, and offered burnt offerings, and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink, and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." Blasphemy is what that is right there. "And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God, and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, For mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth. Turn from thy fierce wrath, and repent of this evil against thy people." He says, "Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever." And the Lord repented, meaning he just changed his mind. The Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. And Moses turned, just a couple more verses. "And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides, and on the one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, There is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, It is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount." So tonight I want to preach on a subject that I don't know. I've been in the ministry 30 years. I've only been pastoring for 25 years, but I've never really heard too many messages on the subject of anger. I've never really heard too many messages on the subject of anger. And so that's what we're going to look at tonight. And so you might be thinking, well, you know, that's not very much fun. No, but this is what the Lord has leading me to do this evening, And so, Lord willing, it'd be a blessing. Father in heaven, we just again ask that you'd have your hand upon us this evening. And I know, Father, even as a guest speaker, it's not one of the most popular topics to preach on. But, Father, I believe this is what you'd have me do at this hour. And so, Lord, just help us and give us wisdom, give us direction, and most importantly, help us to apply the truths that we find in your word tonight to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. May be seated. Now that I mentioned the subject matter, how many are ready to just head up, pack up, and go back home? Anyone ready to go back up? Okay, you need this message. No, I'm just kidding you. So I want to talk about the subject of anger, because anger is one of those sins that gets the best of us, even when we're trying to do what's right. And growing up, I had a major problem. I still have a problem with anger. You just have to work to control it and work to ask the Lord to help you. But man, when I was growing up, I like to say the Neils. That's my name is Nail. But I was going to say the word gene. The nails have a gene. We have a mean gene or a grumpy gene or a cranky gene. And I say I got it from my dad. My dad had it. And I got it from him. He got it from his father, my grandpa Max. He had a cranky gene or grumpy gene. Probably got it from Sid, his father. And my brother really had it. And he's in heaven. And I've transferred this cranky gene to my kids, or a couple of them. You know, they have the cranky gene. Anyone here besides me have that mean gene or the cranky or... Just, you guys are non-participatory people. Let's preach on love tonight. Let's turn to John 3. So I had that gene, and I grew up with it as a kid, as a young person. I get so mad, I get so frustrated, and I'd lash out, I'd hit things, and you know, I hurt myself, you know. And then I took that over into my marriage. You know, not being a very kind person in our marriage in the early years. Matter of fact, Dean and I have had the privilege of speaking in some marriage conferences, and I get to tell the story, marriage retreats, and I mean, I've put holes in the wall, you know, being angry as a newlywed couple because I just didn't feel like things were going the way that I thought that they should go. Matter of fact, one time in our marriage, she wasn't submitting unto me like I thought that she should, and I grabbed a Bible, and listen, we got married, and 2 months later, we were in BBC going to college because Heartland wasn't there. 2 months later, we were in BBC and had problems. For the first 5 years of our marriage, I had problems with anger. For the first 5 years, I was on staff at Temple Baptist Church in El Dorado, Kansas, under Dave Schaefer, and I was punching holes in the wall in my home. Well, in our rented house, it was my father's. So I remember one time I was so mad at Dina, I grabbed the Bible. I kid you not, I grabbed the Bible, and I looked at my wife, and I said, and I held the Bible out, and I said, "You will submit to me," like that. Don't do that, guys. Don't try that. Can you imagine that? "You will submit to me." You know, you think that's going to go over very well? That didn't go over very well. And one time we got mad, and I mean, we were in El Dorado, and I was on staff. I was on staff, because we can hide it pretty well, can't we? I was on staff in Kansas, and I walked out the door on Allegheny, and I slammed the door in my dad's rental house, and I slammed the door, and I heard click while I was on the front porch, and Dino had locked the door. I turned around, and I said, you better open this door, or I'm going to tear it down. And about 2 seconds later, click, she opened the door. Now, we joke about it. Now, listen, I need to explain something. There was no physical, there's no physical violence. There was none of that. Or listen, that's unacceptable, and the sheriff needs to be called. And you need to get that. That's not acceptable. I was just unkind. I was just mean. And you could say that there's emotional damage there and things of that nature. But and Dina was having a hard time. It was a two-way street. You know, Dina was having a hard time submitting unto me and following the Lord. It took both of us about 5 years to finally get our act together and start loving on her like Christ loved the church and her reverencing her husband. But I'm telling you what, in the meantime, we had some problems. And I had to get control of this anger. And so now, you know, and then I got control of it. And all right, I'm, you know, with the Lord's help, I have control of it. I still struggle from time to time. And it's funny how you can control it. And then you start reserving it, you know, your anger for the ones you love the most, like your wife and your kids or your husband. It's amazing how we can do that. But listen, anger is a very serious problem in the Christian lives today. It's a problem in Christian homes. Anger has destroyed marriages. Anger has destroyed relationships with parents. Anger has destroyed relationships with siblings and relationship with friends. And there are some here, maybe even in the auditorium tonight, who have not spoken to a friend or a loved one in quite a while because you're angry with them, because you're upset with them, because of something that has happened. So let me ask you this question just right off the bat. Who are you angry with tonight? Who are you upset with tonight? It's a problem more serious than we would like to admit. And but inevitably, some people will say, but preacher, you just don't know what they did to me. You don't know what's happened in my certain situation. No, I don't know. I don't understand what happened. I don't know. But I do know one thing, that anger is not the answer. Anger is not the answer. When it comes to anger, some will, you know, also defend their actions and say, well, Paul said in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26, be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. But what that's doing, that's not giving us a carte blank attitude towards anger as long as we get it taken care of by the sundown. We can't just go out there and be totally angry and upset and it's like, as long as I get it taken care of by sunset, then I'm going to be fine. That's not what he's talking about. We also need to understand that there's nothing wrong with being angry for a righteous cause. I mean, there's a lot of things in this world where we should be angry. I'm angry at the abortion and the ability to take an unborn life. I'm angry about that. I'm angry that the devil is destroying our homes with same-sex marriages and things of this nature, and how the LGBTQ community is trying to infiltrate, and the whole gender confusion, and they're destroying the lives of children. I'm angry about that. I think that's wrong. I think it's wrong. I'm angry about some churches, how they're going off the deep end and going contemporary and going clear left, and churches that have been established as gospel preaching churches that have been established the correct way, younger guys come in or new guys come in and take it down the path that they never should have gone. I'm angry about stuff like that. I don't like that. So we should be angry over sinful acts that go contrary to God's word, that destroy the lives of men, women, and children. But anger kindled by our sinful flesh, now follow me on this, anger kindled by our sinful flesh usually is destructive and devilish, to say at best. Paul says, be angry and sin not, meaning if you're going to be angry, don't miss the mark. Don't miss the mark. Don't sin. Don't sin. Control your anger and get it settled quickly. You see, our sin usually, if not always, our anger usually, if not always, leads to sin. It usually leads to sin. Now, pardon me. In our text tonight, we read the story of Moses coming off the mount with the commandments written, as chapter 31 and verse 18 tells us, with the finger of God. The children of Israel become impatient, as we just read, in Moses' delay in coming down off of the mount. And so Aaron makes them a golden calf, of which he's going to say, oh, they made me do it. You know, I just threw it in there, and it, poof, there it came out, a golden calf. And so he makes them a golden calf to worship. And look what they said in verse 4, chapter 32 and verse 4. These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And to me, it just blows my mind. A few years back, I preached through the book of Exodus, and I almost got angry every time I read what God did for the children of Israel. And the next day, they got up murmuring and complaining. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? After what God has done for you, you're going to murmur and complain and chastise the man of God? I can't comprehend stuff like that. But the children of Israel here are doing the very same thing. God had miraculously delivered them from Egypt, had miraculously given them food and water. You would think that they would be grateful. You'd think they'd be grateful and wait for Moses to return from meeting with the Lord from a mount of which they could see it taking place. I mean, they could see it, visibly see what was going on there. You would think they would wait, but they grow impatient. And they said in chapter 32 and verse 1, up, make us gods which shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not is become of him. So we're going to need some help here, Aaron, because we don't know what's going on with Moses. It's just been a short period of time, but we need you to do this. So after the Lord finished meeting with Moses, look in chapter 32. After the Lord finished meeting with Moses, he said in verse 7, the Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down for thy people. Notice he says thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Verse 9, And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, the Lord says, let me alone that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And everyone would have, everyone in this room would have said, amen, I don't blame you at all. I mean, that's just amazing. You should, I probably would have done it a long time ago in the wilderness wanderings. But notice verse 11. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? The Bible says that the Lord's anger waxed hot against the children of Israel. He was upset with them, and rightly so. Blasphemy, the worshiping false gods. I mean, they're right there at the mount, and he's getting the commandments, and he's taking care of them. And Moses, and the Word of God shows that the Lord's anger waxed hot. But we need to be clear when we're talking about the Lord's anger versus our anger, because the Lord's anger is not the same as our anger. His anger is not the same as yours and mine. Why is that? Because the Lord is a thrice holy God. I mean, he is a thrice holy God. And so there's a difference there. And his anger, the Lord's anger, is always, always directed as a judgment towards sin. He's going to judge sin. That's where his anger is directed. Ours is a sinful anger. When I get angry, it's sinful, usually, because we don't get our way, because I don't get my way. It's not going the way that I think it should go. I think it should go this way, and it's not going this way, and therefore I'm getting mad, and I'm upset, and I'm frustrated, and you're not doing it the way that I think it should go. And so ours turns into sin. Well, in our text here, Moses sees the Lord's displeasure. Moses is like, whoa, you know, wait a minute, hold on, time out. Moses sees his displeasure, and in verses 11 through 14, he intercedes on behalf of Israel, and praise the Lord, he spares their life yet again. Look in verse 11. Again, Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Listen to what he says here. Turn, Lord, turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember, now he starts pulling up, you know, he starts getting help with some illustration here. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. So you would think, so Moses, the Lord's anger's wrath, just follow me, this is a narrative as we go along. So the Lord's anger, his wrath is hot against the children of Israel. He tells Moses what he's going to do. I'm going to destroy them, step aside, and I'll make of you a great nation. And Moses says, hold on, just remember, you know how they are, and you remember your promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, turn from your wrath and turn from your, don't do that, please. And the Lord changed his mind. And the Lord says, okay, I'm not going to do that. I won't destroy them. So now you would think that Moses, after seeing the Lord's displeasure and interceding on the behalf of Israel, would work hard at helping Israel see the error of her ways. You would think that Moses would go down and say, listen, you guys, you don't know what just happened. I know, I'm telling you what, you were this far away from annihilation. I mean, if it weren't for me, I need a pat on the back. No, he wouldn't say that. But I mean, if it weren't for me, you'd all be dead right now, because you have erred greatly. You have transgressed against God's word, and you were worshiping these false idols. And the God of Israel, who's brought you out of Egypt, I mean, he would have interceded or worked on their behalf. You would think that he would work hard to find the root of the problem and teach them the principles of God and work through to find an adequate solution as to why they would do something like that and just chastise Aaron or something, have him step down for a little bit, I don't know. You would think he would work hard to find a solution and help them, but that's not what happens, is it? That's not what happens. No, Moses now takes it upon himself to get angry. So Moses gets angry now. Look in verse 19. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf in the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot. And he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. Verse 21, and Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people, listen, Moses said to Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And verse 22, and Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord Moses wax hot. Thou knowest that the people, that they are set on mischief. So twice here in the scriptures, the Bible records that Moses now, twice it records that Moses' anger waxes hot. I mean, he's on fire. I mean, he's perturbed. He's like, this is crazy. Remember, this is the same Moses who just tried to reason God out of his wrath. Everyone with me? You got to keep up on this one. And so he tried to reason God out of his wrath. And now he comes down and now he gets super angry. And twice in the Bible, it says that Moses' anger gets hot. Look in verse 11. Back in verse 11, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people? He said unto the Lord. In verse 12, turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. And so now Moses, after two times interceding on the behalf of Israel and pleading unto God to have him turn from your wrath, now it's okay, Moses, for you to become angry? Now it's okay for you to get all upset and your anger wax hot against the children of Israel? So, I mean, I just picture this illustration. I try to get Charlton Heston out of my mind. I really do, and I joke about that, but it's true. I see Moses coming down with these tables of stone written with the finger of God on both sides, intermediated by angels, the Bible tells us. And he comes down, and he sees the debauchery. He sees the craziness. He sees the golden calf. I mean, I would have been upset too, wouldn't you? I mean, I would have been frustrated. I would have been like, are you kidding me? I mean, are you dead dog serious here? I mean, after all that he has done, I mean, I would have probably resigned, Brother Abels. I mean, I'd have been like, you know, get Joshua. Call him up right now. I'm retiring. I'm going to go to the other side of Sinai. Get me a nice little cottage. And I'm going to, because these people are crazy. I mean, and so Moses sees all this. And so what does he do? He takes those tables of stone and he throws them at the altar and he breaks them right there. And it's quite a scene to behold. And so he throws them in a fit of anger. He throws them at the idol and he breaks the tables of stone. And let me ask you this. Getting angry and throwing things. Have you ever, and you don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to respond. But have you ever thrown anything in a fit of anger? Have you ever done that? I have. You don't have to admit it, but I'm telling you what, I've thrown stuff. I wanted to throw some golf clubs this last week, but I didn't do it. I wanted to. If you're a golfer, you have. So at any rate, but Moses is out of control. Anger leads him to cast those tables of stone at the foot of the altar. And then it gets even crazier here. So remember, the Lord's angry. Moses talks him out of that. Moses comes down. Moses gets angry. And so he throws the tables of stone. And then look what we see next. We find Aaron, of all people, having to intercede on behalf of the people before Moses. So now Aaron's stepping in and saying, whoa, hold on just a second. Look in verse 22 again. Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. Moses, calm down. You know these people are rebellious. Why are you getting so angry? It's, you know, I think about this anger and Moses and me and you potentially. It's almost as if when we don't get our way, we become angry. And what we're really doing, folks, is when we get angry, is we're putting ourselves on the throne instead of allowing God to be on the throne. We're not happy with what God has done, and so we get angry, and we put ourselves squarely upon the throne, and we say, I'm not getting my way. I'm not getting it done the way I think that it should be done, and that's the problem that we find here. When we allow ourselves to become angry or to get angry, it all turns out, it all becomes about me rather than about Jesus Christ. We are here to point people to Jesus Christ, but when we get angry, what happens is that focus comes upon us. But can our anger really hinder others from seeing Jesus Christ? Can it really affect those around us where they don't get a clear picture of Jesus Christ? Well, we're not going to turn there for sake of time, but in Numbers chapter 20, remember when Moses struck the rock when he should have spoken to it? Remember the first time he struck the rock, that was what he was supposed to do, and it brought water out to the children of Israel. And then they needed water again. And this time God says, and the rock was a picture of Christ, And this time the Lord says, don't smite the rock this time, just speak to it. Remember that? You remember the story? We can turn there if you want. But he says, no, just talk, speak to the rock and it will bring forth water. And Moses didn't do that, did he? He didn't speak to it because Christ only needs to be smitten once. And so when Moses got there in Numbers chapter 20, The Bible says in verse 10, when Moses struck the rock, when he should have spoken to it, in his anger, he said, "Hear now, ye rebels." This is what Moses said. "Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? Must we do this?" And the Lord's response to Moses in Numbers chapter 20 and verse 12, the Lord says, because ye believe me not to sanctify me, the Lord says, because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, basically, Moses, you're not going to go into the promised land. Did you realize that's why Moses did not get to go into the promised land? Was because he struck that rock when he should have spoken to it. And he brought the honor and glory upon him rather than having a clear picture of Jesus Christ. He was supposed to speak to the rock that was only to be smitten once earlier, and he didn't do that, and it all became about him. Must we fetch you water, you rebels, you stinkers? Are we supposed to do this? And so the Lord says, you're not going to go into the promised land because of that. So here's the problem. You see, Moses' anger completely blurred the picture that God was putting forth of Christ as our rock needing to only be smitten once. Moses, in his anger, gave Israel an improper picture of Jesus Christ. Whether they fully understood it at that time or not, we know that that's exactly what took place. So, quickly tonight, I want to give you three consequences of anger in our life. Three consequences of anger, and they're short. And so, because I don't want anyone to get angry. I'd stick that in there somewhere. And so, three consequences of anger. Number one, we need to realize that anger discourages. Anger discourages. When you're angry, you're always thinking negative thoughts. The angry person is not thinking positive thoughts. It's hard to focus on the love of Christ when you have an angry spirit. I'm just telling you what, my wife, you know, if you're in a restaurant and you're cranky and you're mean, I tell our people, especially in Florida, but not so much here in Glendale, but I'd say, listen, if you're going to be cranky, if you're going to be mean to the server, then give them a track of a sister church. That's so wrong. But at any rate, one of my wife's pet peeves, you know, I go into a restaurant, and you know the busboy has one job. He has one job. Clear the table and the seats, right? Am I right on that? And you know, I get there, and it's dirty. And so, you know, sometimes so they can see. Have you ever done that? So they can see you cleaning, doing their job and cleaning. And my wife says, don't you be one of those old cranky Baptist preachers. Don't you be one of those old cranky Baptist preachers. And so what happens is it's hard to be cranky and it's hard to be mean. And then, oh, hey, by the way, would you like to come to our church? I'd sure love to have you come. You know, we're angry, we're mean, we're unkind to them. And then we hand them a track. You know, Christ loves you. I don't, but Christ loves you. Come visit First Baptist Bible Church. You know, we have loving people here. Where's my eggs are cold. Have a nice day. Here's a track. We love to have you. Everyone with me on that? You know what I'm saying? I'm not good at sometimes illustrating that properly, but I mean, it's hard to focus on the love of Jesus Christ when you have an angry spirit about you. You just don't, we're not thinking clearly or righteously. Colossians 3:21 says, Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Anger and discouragement go hand in hand. With an angry person, there's always going to be discouragement. The angry person does nothing but discourage those around him, setting them on edge, confusing them of the proper direction of their life. And like Moses, an angry father discourages a son because he gives him or her an improper picture of Jesus Christ. So number one, anger discourages. Number two, anger distances. Anger distances. Proverbs 15:18, a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. Proverbs 29:22, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. You know, being around an angry person, man, you never know what's going to set them off. And so therefore, you want to distance yourself from them. No one wants to be around an angry person. You just don't know. You're always wondering what's going to make them snap. Is this, what if I say this, is that going to make them snap? Or if I do this action, is that going to, you know, send them off the deep end? Or are these words going to send them over the top? The angry person always pushes people away for the simple reason that they cannot be trusted. They just simply cannot be trusted. Let me ask you, are your kids nervous when dad gets home or nervous when mom gets home? Or Is the wife nervous when the husband gets home, or vice versa? The wife, the husband nervous if mama comes home and she's going to be all bent out of shape? I'm just telling you what, are people nervous around you because they just don't know who they're going to get when they see you from one day to the next? Well, we don't know what kind of mood he's in. Let's just wait and see what happens when he gets home. I'm just telling you what, that's not right. That's not the way it's supposed to do. And you'll tear your family apart. And then the greatest consequence, what I want to kind of focus on here for just a second, is the perhaps the greatest consequence. Now listen to this and write this down and remember this. Number three, anger destroys that which must be rebuilt. Anger destroys that which must be rebuilt. So back in our text here, let's remember the chain of events and then we're done. Let's remember these chain of events. Chapter 31 and verse 18. Remember, God gave Moses two tables of testimony written with the finger of God. Remember that? So he gave him the testimonies written with the finger of God. Then in verses 15 through 19, remember, Moses gets angry and he throws them down at the foot of the altar and he breaks them. But the Lord then comes to Moses and says, Moses, I'm going to need those tables back. I'm going to need those. You just broke them, but I'm going to need those. You're going to have to get new ones. Let's look at the Lord's gentle, but yet his evident rebuke of Moses' actions. Turn to chapter 34 and verse 1. Chapter 34 and verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first. He said, hew two tables of stone like unto the first. And I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables, which thou breakest. You're the one who broke them. So now I want you to hew two tables of stone like unto the first. Verse 2, and be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all of the mount, neither let the flocks nor herds feed before that mount. And he, Moses, hewed two tables of stones like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. So Moses had to hew these two tables of stone himself. Look in verse 1 again. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first. Verse 4, and he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first. And I'm just wondering if he experienced the remorse that I experience oftentimes when my anger destroys. I wonder if Moses is sitting there chipping away at that and saying, man, I wish maybe I could have done this a little bit differently. You know, maybe I could have just said, what are you doing? And set them down kindly or nicely and, you know, and talk to them. And instead of breaking them, I wonder while he was chipping those two stones, the new tablets out, that if he was thinking about that. I wish I wouldn't have broken those. And then second, if that wasn't bad enough, now he has to carry these two tables himself up to the top of the mount. That's what it says there. He's got to carry them up there. Ever climb to the top of a mount lugging two tables of stone? I told you my story about Mount Baldy this morning. I don't want to have anything to do with that. But that's what Moses had to do. And so you see, Moses' anger caused the tables to be destroyed, but here's what I want us to understand, but they had to be rebuilt. They had to be rebuilt. And listen, anger, listen, if you get nothing else, get this right here. Anger destroys lives, anger destroys relationships, and anger even destroys our very walk with God that must be rebuilt. You're going to have to rebuild if you're going to destroy. It must be rebuilt. You know, Moses is not unlike many of us who have a propensity to become angry. I have it, man. I still work on it because I can, especially when it comes to my wife or my children. When someone messes with my wife or my kids, the pastor hat comes off, and I'm like, okay, I don't want to have to resign, you know, from the pastorate. I mean, I flash. Sometimes I flash. Anyone besides me, calm yourself down. Or if Dina says something, or my kids say something, or someone else says something, you know, I mean, it seems like I have tons of patience with church members, but then when it comes to your family or strangers, you know, I'm like, I get so bent out of shape sometimes, and I have to work on this. And Moses is not like us, and we're not unlike him. We have the propensity to get angry. Think back about Moses. The first time we learn of him in his adult life, he gets angry at an Egyptian and kills him. That's the first thing we hear about Moses after he's born, you know, of course, and weaned by his mother. In his adult life, he gets angry and kills someone. His anger destroys these commandments. It was his anger that kept him from entering into the promised land. Listen, his anger hindered, no one can argue, it hindered his relationship with the Father. Moses even tried to talk God into letting him go into the promised land. Remember that? He said, would you let me go on in? And short story here. And the Lord said, no, don't ask me again. You're not going in, don't even ask me again. And Moses is like, okay. So he died on Mount Nebo. And he didn't get to go to the promised land. Why didn't he get to go to the promised land? Because of his anger. The consequences of his anger. By hitting those stones. That's the truth. It's right here in God's word. And so when you feel that anger, like I do often, building up, man alive, we just have to step back and think. We have to stop and think to ourselves, if I lose my temper, if I become angry, what is it going to take to rebuild this relationship? Because I'm going to have to rebuild it. I'm going to have to do that. What is it going to cost me? When I get angry with someone else, or I get angry and I yell at the kids, or yell at your spouse, or you yell at your parents, or you do something, or I'm just telling you what is it going to cost me in my fit of anger to rebuild the relationship that I am destroying because of some hateful and harshful words? And keep in mind, here's just a little free one right here. Keep in mind, even when the person in the right gets angry, even if you're right, even when the person in the right gets angry, God will often delay the judgment of the wrong until he deals with the anger of the one that was in the right. So rather than give way to anger, let's remember the words of Paul and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And some of you here today, I don't know. I haven't talked to your pastor. He didn't even know what I was preaching tonight. I told him up here on the platform, I said, this may go over like a lead balloon. We'll just see what happens. But I said, there may be some people in here, I have no clue, but there might be people in here who are angry about a certain situation that has taken place. I don't know. Maybe you're angry with a certain individual. Maybe you're angry with a certain family member. Maybe you're angry with a certain friend, a coworker, or a spouse, or one of your children. Maybe you're even angry at the Lord for something that has taken place in the past. And you're angry about that, and you're bitter, and you're holding on to that. And in your mind, man, in your mind, you might even feel justified about that. No, I'm in the right here. You know, and I always go back to Psalm 119:165. Great peace have they which love the law, and nothing shall offend them. You shouldn't have been able to get angry in the first place. We could go there and preach that whole message right there. And so in your mind, you might even be justified. But listen, your anger, remember, is going to do nothing but discourage and distance and destroy those relationships with others. That's what's going to happen. And most importantly, it's going to hinder what God wants to do in and through you in your life. Paul said, neither give place to the devil. So let's stop giving opportunity to the devil and keeping us angry, which does nothing but destroy and grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And one more thing, I've had people say this, but Pastor, I'm just telling you what, Brother Nail, I can't help it. It just comes over me and I can't help it. I can't help it. It just comes over me. I get so angry. And I just, you know, I've been here for a couple hours this morning. I've been here a little hour and a half tonight with all of you all. And I've not seen anyone rise up in anger and scream at someone. And you're like, well, no, of course not. We're in church. Oh, so you can control it. So you can control it. Yes, you can, can't you? You certainly can. I would never do that in church. Okay, well, don't do it when you get home. Don't do it when the dinner's not ready. Don't do it when the kids act up. Don't do it when your spouse doesn't pick up the trash. Don't do it when this, don't get angry. You can control it with the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can. Anger is not the answer. Colossians 3:8, but now you also put off all these anger, wrath, malice. He says in verse 10, put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. I'm just telling you what, Jesus Christ is the answer. He is the help and the hope. And maybe you're here and you're like, I have no problems with anger. I have no difficulties whatsoever. Praise God for that. I mean, I'm very thankful for that. But there might be some here that are like, okay, I've been having a struggle with this and I'm having a problem. And I'm just telling you what, I've not heard many messages preached on this. And it's not like it's a top priority that we need to preach on, but it's something that we need to think about from time to time. And if you have a problem with difficulties or struggles, or you're just cranky, you're mean-spirited, or you've just been contrary, and you might not be angry and lash out and yell at the kids or yell at your spouse, you might not, but you just have that attitude, or you give that silent treatment, and they know, everyone knows when mom's upset, you know, everyone knows when dad's upset. Why don't we just maybe come and ask the Lord for some help with that? because he's willing to help us if we're willing to ask. Heavenly Father, we just come into your presence again tonight. And Lord, I just ask that you'd have your will and way during the invitation time. And Lord, continue to help me in my daily life. Lord, I get frustrated sometimes and the blood pressure rises and we get upset about certain things. Lord, just help us to control ourselves and control our spirits and just get help from you, Father, in this area. And Lord, I know this isn't a widespread problem throughout churches today, but there are problems and it could destroy marriages. And if it just helps one family tonight, Lord, that'd be a blessing. And so I just ask that your perfect will would take place during this invitation time. Maybe we'd seek your face and just ask you for help in our life, just to be the Christian that you'd want us to be. Maybe there's someone here, although we didn't talk about salvation, but maybe there's someone here who doesn't know you as their personal Savior, or others, you know, need church membership or baptism, or Lord, we need to pray for others, or just maybe there's a relationship that's been broken, that's been estranged, and they're a long way away, and Father, we just need to come and pray. And so, Lord, would you help me to restore that broken relationship? Would you give me the wisdom that I need to make things right? Even if I'm not in the wrong, Father, just help me to do something to make it right. I just pray for wisdom on that. So however you see fit, I pray that you'd bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, and we'll have a couple verses of invitation tonight. Maybe just need to come forward and say, Lord, I need...